And so this morning we'd like you to look with us at chapter 57 of Isaiah. And we begin with verse 19, where God declares, "Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." This is a call of God to those who have been at war with him. In the early part of chapter 57, Isaiah describes those who had turned their backs on God. Those who found themselves in that position of fighting against God. They had set their hearts against the things of God. And God declared that they were inflamed in their passions because of their idols. The idols of those days, many of them were the nude forms of man and woman with exaggerated characteristics that were sort of the pornography of the day. They were designed to inflame their passions, to arouse them. And it was their form of pornography in those days. And thus God speaks of them being inflamed, their passions being inflamed with their idols. And the result of inflamed passions, aroused, is that of unwanted children. Unwanted pregnancies. And so the Lord speaks about them offering their children, slaying their children in the valleys, under the clefts of the rocks. Actually, they would build these large bonfires in the valleys, and then they would take their babies and throw them into the fires because they didn't want the responsibility of raising their children. And thus, God was saying, these are evil practices. These things you should not do. In doing these things, you are warring against God and against the Spirit of God. These things are wicked. And thus, God is calling to these people who were doing these wicked things, and God was offering peace to them. Peace, peace to him that is far off, that man who is far off from God, far off from the ways of God, and yet God is offering peace unto him. God is absolutely pure. He is holy. He is opposed to all evil. In the previous chapter, God said, just keep judgment and do justice. God says, just live right. And God wants you to live a right life, a pure life, a good life. And God pronounced his blessing upon the man that would keep himself from evil. Now, God has created us and created the life forms and has marvelously endowed the life forms with the capacity of reproducing after their kind. A couple of days ago, I was walking there in Kona, And I saw all of these little filmy kind of, it looked almost like cellophane, about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. And it was just these filmy little seeds. Actually, the seed, there was a film that was around the seed pod. The seed pod was there. But then this light, filmy little wing-like apparatus around it. And I picked it up to study it a bit because I had never seen a seed that was quite like this and with this cellophane type of a film wing on it. And I looked at it for a while, and then I threw it up into the wind, and I watched the wind take it as it sort of sailed with the wind. And I thought, again, a part of God's marvelous design to help propagate this particular tree. When the time comes for it to reproduce itself, it puts these little fin kind of things onto the seed so that the wind can carry it off and it can plant itself someplace else as the seed falls and germinates and it spreads itself. And I thought, what marvelous design. The pine seed has a little fin that when it pine cone dries and the pine seed pops out, this little fin acts much like a rotor blade on a helicopter in that it causes the little pine seed to spin. And with the rotation of this fin, it takes the seed far enough away that it can have a chance to root and grow without being in the shade of the pine tree and stunted. And how that the forest covered with the pine trees, because of God's marvelous design, and they're propagating themselves. And just marvel at the way God has created life forms to reproduce. The seed itself is just filled with a genetic code, and all of the information is there in that seed. The potential for life and for forms of life are in that seed, all coded in that genetic code within the seed. The genetic code for this huge pine tree is all there. The genetic code of how it should put its roots on down into the soil and how that the roots should be selective in taking just the chemicals that it needs to support this big tree. The design coded in on how to form the bark so that the beetles can't get to the heart of the tree. How to create the needles to, by photosynthesis, transfer the energy of the light on in and feed the tree. And then how to create cones that will have other little seeds with little fins that can carry them off to reproduce, and the whole code for a whole vast forest all bound up. It's just marvelous to me. Now, when God designed us as human beings, he also designed us with that capacity of creating other human beings. Only unlike the trees or the plants, where all of the coded information is in the seed, God designed that the seed had to be fertilized by the ovum in order to be a complete cell and to have all of the information it took the fertilization of the seed. And so God gave man, the seed, and to the woman, the ovum, and the ovum fertilized by the seed, the 23 chromosomes that are taken as a random selection from the male and 23 from the female, and thus you have the full cell. It begins its reproduction with all of the coded information on the shape of the eyes, the color of the eyes, the eyebrows, the hair, the ears, and the heart, and the whole coded information. If you would write out all of the information necessary to create the human body, all of the information that's in the DNA code, you could fill 1,000 books of 10,000 pages with the information that is necessary to create the human body. And I think how marvelous is God's design. And we choose these chromosomes at random so that every one of us look different. Imagine if we were all made up of the same genetic code. Everybody looked alike. Every woman in the world looked alike. How boring. Every man looked alike, you know. How would you know your husband? But God so designed that with these factors that we have this tremendous variety. And then God placed within man that sex drive, made the woman very attractive to him. And then God said, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. God's order, God's plan, that the human race might be propagated. Now, to take these divine capacities of creating life and to use them like a drug or a toy, to just try to derive pleasure or fun, God said was wrong. That's evil. Thus, premarital sex, adultery, and all forms of homosexuality are wrong in the sight of God. They are evil in the sight of God, despite what the liberals may say. God speaks against these things. But here, in Isaiah's day, men's passions were being inflamed by their little idols. They were living lives of immorality, sexual promiscuity. The whole attitude of the society was upbeat, high vibe, restlessness. As wickedness always produces that restlessness. And so to this restless society that was at war against the things of God, God is offering to them peace. Peace, saith God. But to make peace, it was necessary that God's righteousness in justice be maintained. God had declared to man, and rightfully, that the effects and consequences of sin would be destruction and death. God designed his laws to lead man in the path that was good. He has shown you, O man, what is good, what is right, what is healthy. Sin is inherently destructive. When God designed our bodies, a part of the design was this marvelous immunal system that we have, where the body is able of identifying foreign substances and then developing immunities to that substance. It identifies the foreign substance, and then the chemical labs go to work and your body develops the immunity to them. And that's just marvelous. My little granddaughter, when we were there on Kona, in Kona, she was on the balcony and she went to pick a blossom of the bougainvillea. And very colorful. And as she went to pick it, she got the thorn of the bougainvillea under her fingernail. And so she came to Grandpa to remove the thorn. But she was so skittish. When I just went to look at it, she started, you know, getting all excited and almost hysterical. And I said, well, Grandpa will need a needle. Oh, no needle, no needle. You know what's other? The only way I can get it, honey. And as I picked up the needle, she started pulling her finger back. And I said, well, honey, I just can't, you know, when you're pulling like that, I just can't do it. Well, Grandpa, you got to get it. I said, no, I can't. You're just too nervous and, you know, you're too tense. I said, but what we'll do is just wait a couple of days. Because in a couple of days, your body will have identified this as a foreign substance, and it will build up, the immune system will start to work, and it'll build up a protection, a moisture and all around it, and a little, the white cells will go in there, and they'll try and remove it, and they'll die, and it'll create a little bit of pus. And I said, by Sunday, we'll just take the top off and Grandpa will just squeeze it and it'll pop out because the body will just develop the immunities against that foreign stuff. It'll surround it and it'll just defend itself. And that's the way our bodies were created. It's marvelous, this immune system. But it is possible to overwork the immune system, to introduce so many foreign substances into the body that the immune system breaks down in its endeavor to identify each one and build up the immunity to them. And you can actually destroy the immune system of your body. And many people have done that. Injecting into their body or ingesting into the body so many foreign substances that the body is not capable of building the immunities. And thus the person becomes susceptible to all types of diseases and viruses, and they can't fight them off anymore. Now, with a husband and wife and the exchange of body fluids, actually your body builds up an immunity, so you're immune to your wife, and your wife is immune to you, and you can have a free exchange of your body substances without any problem because the body already identifies it as it knows, you know, and has developed the immune system, and you're all right. But when a person has a multiple sexual partners of either sex, if you have multiple relationships, what happens is that your body immune system begins to break down. And you are now susceptible to the herpes virus or to many other viruses because your immune system is not capable now of fighting these things off. It's being overworked. And thus, it's sort of a built-in kind of a destructive thing, sin. It has its built-in destructive capacities. Those things that God has warned us against and told us not to do, in doing them, there is that self-destruct kind of mechanism within them that God would protect man against if man would only listen. But man goes his own way. He does his own thing. He begins to destroy this marvelous instrument that God gave to him. And as the instrument is destroyed, it's pathetic to see the result of a life of dissipation. Over in Hawaii, you notice so many of those gaunt creatures standing in the medium of the highway, just staring into space with a silly grin on their faces. You know there's nothing up here. They're destroyed that. Their bodies are skinny and gaunt, and they're gone. They've destroyed themselves. They did their own thing. They went their own way, and they destroyed themselves. And you see it around every major metropolitan area where these people seem to assemble or gather. You see those people whose lives are down the tubes. And the tragic thing over in Hawaii, I noticed so many that were they couldn't have been out of their 20s, and yet their lives were down the tubes, gone already. Because they set themselves at war against God and the things of God. And they were determined that they were going to do their own thing, which they did to their own destruction. But as we go back to Isaiah 53, where God offered peace and made the provisions for peace, God said there that he laid upon Jesus, his servant, the iniquities of us all. All of us, like sheep, verse 6, had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Verse 11, the latter part, he will bear their iniquities. Verse 8, the latter part, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. So in verse 5 we read, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So in chapter 57, God can call to the people who have turned to their own ways, who are destroying themselves, who have inflamed themselves with their idols, have destroyed their children. God can say, peace, peace to you that are afar off. And God can offer peace, because the provisions were made by Jesus Christ, who bore our sins, wounded for our transgressions, that we might be healed. And so God is offering there peace and healing. I will heal him, the Lord said. And you know the beautiful thing is that God can take a life that is down and almost out, and God can restore and God can heal. And you may have foolishly gone your own way. You may have sort of just rebelled against God, and following your own passions and folly have brought upon yourself destruction. But the Lord is saying today, peace, peace. I will heal. Now, this is in sharp contrast with the wicked, who the Bible said are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's a restlessness in the world today. You really feel it in Waikiki. I don't like to stay in the center part of Waikiki. The vibes are too high. People are walking the streets all night long. It's just, it's hard to go to sleep. It's just, there's a restlessness that is there. We usually stay up out of the district. We stay up on right across from the Queen Kapi'olani Park, where you hear the noises of the elephants and the monkeys and the peacocks at night rather than people. I find noises of monkey more quieting than the noises of people. There's a slower and a more restful vibe up at that end. But you know, even all of Honolulu is restless. That's why we went to Kona. That's really vibe down time, where it's just the ocean and the surf and the peaceful environment that is there. There are a lot of people whose lives are like a stormy sea. There's just that constant movement, that constant upheaval. The waves constantly just bringing up dirt and mire. And so God describes the wicked, restless, turmoil, like a troubled sea. I think that this so aptly describes Hollywood, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, the major metropolitan areas. Troubled seas that cannot rest, casting up dirt and filth. That's true not only of metropolitan areas, unfortunately, is true of many lives. Troubled, restless, the restless ones. And to that person whose life is so restless, so disquieted, God is saying, peace, peace. Have you ever seen the Pacific Ocean? When it was like a lake. It used to be that back in the good old days, we'd go down and go surfing there at Huntington Beach at the pier every morning. And my friends and I were the only ones that would be there. George Farquhar, who was the editor or the publisher of the paper in Huntington Beach at the time, Sam Terry, who had the drugstore, and myself. Can you imagine that, you guys that have done surfing in Huntington lately? We'd go down in the morning and we'd look at the swell on the north side and south side, figure which side was breaking best, and then we'd just go out there and have it all to ourselves. Just the three of us. And that was really paradise at that time. But there would be mornings that we'd go down and we'd be disappointed. I mean, there wasn't hardly a ripple. There were no waves at all, just little tiny shore breaks, and the water was just lying so flat. It was like a lake. Like a lake. And compared with some of those days where you've got the storm, the huge pounding surf, and the waves just bringing up all of the sand and bringing in debris and all, what a contrast. And so are lives. There are some lives that are just like a stormy sea, and then there are others that are just so placid, not a ripple. And God is offering you the placid life. Peace. Peace to those that are afar off, saith the Lord, because I will heal him. You can be sure that as long as you are at war with God, you can never have peace in your own heart. When you're fighting against God, when you're doing that which you know is wrong, you know you shouldn't, You can never have peace. Your mind is troubled. It's one of those things where you just know that you're guilty. What a contrast when you know you're right. You did the right thing. You obeyed the voice of God. Peace versus conflict. Conflict for those at war with God. Peace for those who have surrendered. And God is offering you peace today. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have offered to us that beautiful peace, peace that passes our understanding. The peace of Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you have given to us the rules by which we should live. Give us the strength, Lord, the inner fortitude and courage to live by those rules. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor, are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, or I will give you peace. Take my yoke upon you," and that's the key. You see, the yoke was the thing they put on an ox so he could pull the plow. And the Lord is saying, "Let me take the reins of your life and let me guide and direct you now. Turn your life over to me, because you'll find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Some of you have been carrying a load that's almost too heavy. You find yourself weakening and being destroyed. God is saying to you today, "Peace, peace. Though you're so far away, though you're on a path of destruction, I will heal you to continue in that path will only be to destroy yourself and to live in that turmoil and strife. Come and know my peace." And I would invite you to come know his peace today. Pastors will be back in the prayer room to pray for those who might like to go back there. May the Lord be with you and guide and direct your life as we walk in his path of righteousness. In Jesus' name.